In today's gospel, Jesus tells us to call no one father, call no one teacher, and call no one master. As a priest who is often called father, who likes teaching, who has a master's degree, I'm in big trouble. But probably a lot of us could relate to that, because a lot of you here are probably called father or teacher or even master. So the gospel can be a little bit confusing. What is Jesus really trying to tell us? Well, I think he's calling our attention to the fact that ultimately all of us on earth who would be called father or teacher or master, we pale in comparison to the one who is truly father, teacher, and master. We will always fall short of the great perfection that is God. And so, it's not that we're not supposed to be called father or teacher at all, but rather we should always see that in that we have a share in that perfection that is God. And our little following on earth that we would share in God's fatherhood will always pale in comparison. In fact, our readings today are a lot about, unfortunately, criticizing the leaders of God's people, where they do, in fact, fall short of this great role of imaging the fatherhood of God. You know, today is Priesthood Sunday. And I'd like to think back, there was, you know, a couple years ago, Pope Benedict gave us that beautiful year for priests. And it was supposed to be a time to celebrate priesthood. And it seemed like that entire year there was just scandal after scandal and priests doing terrible things all during the year for priests. Like, this was supposed to be our year. What's going on, God? And then today, of all days, we have Priesthood Sunday, and we get that beautiful first reading that says, now listen here, you priests, you're not doing very good. And we get our beautiful gospel that says, don't be called father, because none of you are worthy of it. I don't know about these celebrations. If these are celebrations of priesthood, I don't know what would be a non-celebration. They're pretty difficult readings today for priests. But you know, in a lot of ways, I think that's part of the beauty, a little bit of priesthood. I know one of the things that attracted me to especially being a diocesan priest, a priest that would serve the people of Kansas, is that part of the great charism of being especially a diocesan priest is that you're taken from amongst the people. You're just one of them, and you're sent then back, ordained to serve those same people that you come from. People, I think, then can relate to this. In fact, we love that part of our priest that we can say, well, he's one of us. He knows us. He's from here. He's got the same struggles and difficulties we've got as he tries to be a good father and be a leader. But ultimately, we mess it all up. Just like from time to time, all of us fall far short of imaging the love of God the way we should. You know, there's that beautiful line. If there's one line in the scripture that I can latch on to today, it's kind of a positive that gets maybe at the root of some of this. St. Paul, in our second reading today, says very beautifully that he desired to share with them not just the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. I think that's part of the joy of being a priest, to be able to share not just words on a page, but to share a little bit of myself too. It's the case of any good teacher. You know, a good teacher doesn't just present a textbook and go up to the blackboard and read it and write down on the blackboard. A good teacher, I think, are the ones we remember, are the ones that somehow put a little bit of themselves into the lesson. I remember very well one of my second grade teachers in religious education who, she not only taught us about the life of Jesus, but she worked in beautiful details about the Holy Land and Rome and her own travels. And it was clear that I don't remember everything she told us, but I remember that, wow, she really believes this, and she was there, and this is special. And I think we remember those teachers as special, that we see that they teach us not only the lesson, but they give us a little bit of themselves as well. You know, we have a beautiful example of that here in Monsignor Charles. What a great priest and a great teacher. And I think one of the things that we love about him is that we can see that he puts so much of himself into the preaching of the gospel, not just when he's teaching, but when he's living it. You know, we even, simple things like, what would be a Monsignor Charles homily without a little poem of a prayer at the end? And that's his thing. I mean, I could never do that. If I put a poem at the end, everyone would be, well, you're copying Monsignor. That's his thing. He gives us a little bit of his self as he preaches us the word of God. And I think that's part of the beautiful part of all our priests. All of us can perhaps relate to our priest, especially when they seem human. One of us. But you know, that same quality that we love, that allows us to draw close to our priest as one of us, and also is the doorway for our failings. We would love to be the perfect father, to preach the gospel and truly live out and practice what we preach. But in the end, we're all just a little bit broken, messed up. Perhaps maybe that is one way that we really do have the most in common, all of us as brothers and sisters, whether we're priests or husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, whatever we are, we're all a little broken. And we tend to mess things up at times. We pray for our priest. That's one of the beautiful things of this day. We're not perfect fathers. But you know, it's been that way really since the beginning. If you look at the first men that Jesus chose to be our first bishops, I'm always a little amazed at the people he chose. He didn't go and get the greatest people that we would consider great. At that time, it would have been obvious for Jesus to pick scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and all the most learned people in Israel. Those would have been the people most suited, it would seem, to be the leaders of especially a new and vulnerable church. But Jesus doesn't do that. He picks tax collectors, sinners, Peter, who's a fisherman. So many of them are fishermen, zealots. Who are these people? Why would Jesus pick them? Peter himself is astounded. He's like, Lord, I am a sinful man. You don't want me to be your priest. And yet, Jesus picks these people. He even amazingly picks Judas, who he knows is going to betray him. And he picks him anyway. Why? Well, I always find great comfort in Jesus' choice of these men. Because if we had picked the leaders and the church had been wildly successful, as it has been, well, we would be tempted to say that somehow the church is successful because we have such great leadership. Our secret of success is that we have had incredible popes. We always have perfect bishops and the best priest. And we would tend to think that that's why the church fulfills its mission. But the truth is, it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. In fact, it's only through Jesus that the church is successful, often in spite of the great unworthiness of her ministers. We look at the first group of apostles, and they all deserted him, ran away. Peter, who was supposed to be the rock, was the first to deny Jesus and run away like a coward. Not the greatest start. And of course, there's Judas, chosen by God, and yet, in the end, abandons his apostleship, turns Jesus over to have him killed, and betrays him with a kiss. What do we make of all that? I think it's important to see not only what happened at the beginning, but what did the church do? Did the church just kind of fold up the tent and say, well, that's it? I mean, if this is what the 12 apostles do, forget it. There is no hope. They didn't do that. They said, Jesus will help us. We must pray to the Holy Spirit. Judas is gone. Holy Spirit, help us replace him. Who is the next bishop that will fill his spot? And they move on. Imagine if the church had decided because of the scandal of Judas or the denial of the apostles that's it, we're done. Who am I to even go preach the gospel? I denied Jesus. I can't live this. But they didn't do that. They got back up. And not only did they not try to hide it, they said, yep, I denied Jesus and now I'm preaching him to you. It's all true. That's what the early church did, and that's what we have to continue to do today, because our priests today are no different than those first fishermen, tax collectors, sinners all. Although we are called to image the great fatherhood of God, the truth is we're just a bunch of sinners like everybody else who very much need your prayers. Pray for your priest. And above all, never lose faith in the church. Don't lose faith in God because of the unworthiness of her ministers. Sometimes the greatest stumbling block to people's faith in the church can be us Christians. We don't always live up to the great gospel call. But you know what? We can't fold up. We can't say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody else about Jesus because I can't live it. We're called to be like the early church and go out and say, yes, we're sinners, but yes, we are saved and we have hope in Jesus. It's been true for the church from the beginning, and it's true for us today. While it's true that there have been leaders that have been great stumbling blocks to people's faith, there's also been some pretty great leaders. Priests that I think on this priesthood Sunday that you can all think of in your mind to think that priest really helped me to know God, to love Jesus. We're so blessed here at Curia of Ars that we have one of the greatest examples in the Archdiocese in Monsignor Charles. While there have been bad priests, how many of us would want to give up a priest like Monsignor Charles or Blessed John Paul II, who showed so many of us priests how to be priests? The church is always this great mix of saints and sinners, and perhaps that's how we feel most united. We have that in common, all of us. Our priests are chosen, taken by God to minister, to be fathers. I pray that on this priesthood Sunday, many people would hear that call to follow God in the priesthood, to be fathers, unworthy as we are, but that all of us would have great courage in God to share with all of those around us the gospel, but also our very selves, with all the mess, with all the muck, to share that with people. And perhaps even through our sins, we can help bring people to God, that they would see all the more the truth of the gospel as we share that and our very selves. Pray for your priest, that we might be good fathers, that as we share ourselves, we might all draw closer as brothers and sisters.